Okay, Gudvach, everyone. Gudvach, thank you so much for joining us this Motzei Shabbos, virtually again, 2 years in a row, for the Shabbos Agadol Drasha 5781. I'm going to begin by thanking our sponsors. Our sponsors today for tonight's Drasha are Anna Joel Pogalowicz. We've been supporters for many years of the Shabbos Agadol, Shabbos Shuva Drasha. Sponsored the Drasha in memory of C.H. Fine, Tzvi Leib, Ben Eliyahu, Joel's grandfather, and Mr. Aaron Schwartz, Aaron Ben Avram Moshe, Aaron's father, both of whose yurtzeits are on the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach. And thank you to our new friends, just moved in recently. I saw Elliot just signed on, to Elliot and Carly Bickhoff, and also sponsored by myself, Sarah, and my entire family, in memory of my grandmother. My grandmother just passed away Thursday evening. An email is going to go out shortly to the entire shul. She's a very special woman. Levaya took place yesterday. My mother's sitting Shiva through Thursday morning, along with her siblings, my aunts and uncles. And we'll send that information to the community very, very soon. Her name was Mala Malka Bas Shaima, Mrs. Marlene Linsenbaum. And I hope through this year to share some words and memories and reflections about her, Leeway, her neshama. Okay, let's begin. Let's begin tonight. Next week, Be'ezras Hashem, we'll be celebrating at this time. We'll probably be in the middle of Magid, celebrating all together in our homes, hopefully with a little bit of a bigger Seder than we had last year. What's a Seder supposed to look like 1 year later? What's our Seder supposed to look like 1 year after experiencing the loneliest Seder ever? 1 year into this pandemic. I titled this year, Akshav Kirvanu, Now We Are Close, and it's purposely unclear. It's purposely vague. Now we are close to what? Where are we on this trajectory? Are we closer to the beginning of the pandemic? Are we closer to the end of the pandemic? Are we straight in the middle? What's our perspective is supposed to be right now? Pesach 5781, as many people, thank God, are getting vaccinated. Many others are getting the vaccines. We see the light at the end of the tunnel. Where are we right now? Now we are close. We are close to what? Where are we holding right now? And I'd like to begin, you know, in a point of where we left off last time. And Shabbos Shuva, we spoke about the special Kedusha of Shabbos and how unique Shabbos was, not just always for the Jewish people, but how Shabbos literally kept us going throughout the pandemic. It was our sanctuary in time, it was our anchor, our place to go to in the craziness of the world and craziness of the week itself. We had Shabbos to turn to. And I would like to go back to that because as I was preparing this year for the Shabbos of Agadol Drasha, I have to be honest, I myself didn't know where to start. I myself felt very, you know, a little bit all over the place. My mind was jumbled. You know, where was I going? And part of it is, I don't know where I am. I don't know where I am in this scheme of things. Where do we fit? I'm actually in between vaccine number one and vaccine number two. My Afikoman present this year will be getting vaccine number two, Bezrat Hashem, on the first day of Chol HaMoed. But I myself was very confused and find myself, you know, not clear where we're holding this year. Not clear what the messages should be to my children for the Pesach Seder. Where should we be holding? So I want to begin a little bit where we left off. If you weren't there at the other shir, that's okay. But I came across a very strange Rambam that I'd like to learn with you. And I want to share with you, even though we're not live, we are virtual tonight, we are learning together. The opportunity for the Shabbos Agadol and Shabbos Shuva Drasha is communal Talmud Torah. So if you have something you want to share, a question you want to share, you can use the chat box. At this point, I hope everyone knows how to use that. Or just unmute yourself and share the question or answer in the course of our discussion, and it will only enhance our learning. So let us begin. We're going to begin with the Rambam. The Rambam in Perek Zayin. The Rambam has several, you know, prakim dedicated to the laws of Pesach. in, they're called actually not the laws of Pesach, fascinatingly. He has Hilchos Korban Pesach in a different place, but he has the laws of Chametz U'matzah. That's what he calls them, Hilchos Chametz U'matzah. And in Hilchos Chametz U'matzah, he has the laws of the Seder, the halachas of the Seder, really are in Perek Zayim. All the halachas of the Seder you could find there. Very unique opinions about the world of the Rambam about what to do with the Seder. Many things the Sfardim hold up. For example, the Rambam says you have two matzahs at the Seder, not three, and that the gates half a divrei Torah that the kids bring to the Seder, the three, going leave Yisrael. The Rambam didn't have that. He didn't have that. That's for a different year. But the Rambam here begins. And I want someone to, I'm going to learn this Rambam inside. Someone else shout out what bothers us about this Rambam. The Rambam begins the halakha of the Seder with the following. Mitzvah Seder Shal Torah, L'saper B'nisim V'niflos. Shenasu L'avusinu B'mitzrayim. There's a mitzvah de'oraisa, a positive commandment from the Torah to talk about, to tell the story. It's fascinating that it's in a story form, not just to tell or to talk or to relate facts. Tell it as a story. Benisim v'niflos. Speak of the miracles and the wonderments, the amazements that happened to our forefathers in Egypt. Belel chamisha asar v'nisan, on the 15th night of Nisan, which is next Motzei Shabbos. Shenemar, how do you know this? Zachor es yom hazem asher yitzatem me'eretz Yisrael. Remember, Moshe talks to the Jewish people right before they're about to leave. And he tells them, remember this night. Remember the night you guys left Egypt. Kemoshe ne'emar. And the Rambam says here, how do we know what this means? That this means ledoros, forever. How do we know what this means? Because there's another pasuk that also has the word zachor in it. Kemoshe ne'emar, zachor es yom ha-shabbos. The Torah tells us when it comes to the mitzvah of Shabbos to remember Shabbos. So it has zachor es yom tzitzchah me'eretz Yisrael, remember the day you left Egypt, and also zachor es yom ha-shabbos. That's how you know. How do I know? They have to talk about the Nisan, the miracles. Tell my children over the story from the pasuk zachor, zachor. It says zachor by Yetzias Mitzrayim, and it says zachor by Shabbos. That's how you know. That's a connection to teach us that we have to tell the story of Mitzrayim every single 15th of Nisan.
Why not the Gadata Levincha?
Amazing. Danny, is that Danny?
Yes.
Okay, Mr. President. Thank you, Danny. Okay, usually I go over all the Marukomas to the president beforehand, and I'm joking, but Danny is on the spot, on the money right now. Yeah, that's a problem. Why does the Rambam quote Vigad Levincha? The Rambam quotes Vigad Levincha later on, telling you that you have to tell it to your children specifically, not just to be misaper, but that is the go-to pasuk in the entire Haggadah. The go-to pasuk is Vigad Levincha Bayomahu. Why doesn't the Rambam quote that pasuk? And anyone else have any other questions here? I'm stopping here in the Rambam.
It's right there. He does quote it.
He quotes it later. Yeah, Michael got it.
Two lines later.
You're right. He quotes it later on. You have to tell your children the story, even if they don't have the ability to ask. And even the Rambam will say, they're not there. You got to tell the story over to whomever is there. Even if you're alone, you got to tell it to yourself. So,
Rabbi.
Oh, the Rambam has this pasuk, and we know the Rambam uses this pasuk earlier. Later, what's the connection here? What else bothers us about this Rambam?
What's the point of the whole comparison to Shabbos? The pasuk itself says, "Remember when you went out from Mitzrayim." So, what do you need to bring in the Shabbos pasuk for?
Amazing, Yoni. Awesome, Yoni Lightman. So, Yoni asks an amazing question. That's the question that I want to start off with. What is the comparison here to Shabbos? We need Shabbos to tell us that we need to talk about the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We don't need Shabbos. We know. We have numerous psukim throughout the Torah in several different parashios that tell us that we are commanded on the 15th of Nisan to recount and tell the story over of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why does the Rambam begin here, start off, kick off, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim by connecting it to Shabbos, comparing it to Shabbos? What is that connection that the Rambam is teaching us about? We know that anything that the Rambam says is very precise. There are libraries full of books that are written just on the language of the Rambam. Any extra letter, any extra word, the organization of the Rambam is even you know, figured out, you know, and analyzed by so many deep people. So the Rambam here, that's my question. What's the comparison here between Shabbos and Yetzias Mitzrayim? We would know this anyway. What is the Rambam telling us? Secondly, this year is, we thought it was unique and then we made it even more unique. Next Shabbos, and we discussed this, is an Erev Pesach Shechalios B'Shabbos, which means that next Shabbos is going to be very unique and very different. The Rambam here has a very unique shita. The Rambam writes the following. If the 14th of Nisan falls out on Shabbos, you do B'dikas Chametz on the 13th. Good. Both of these chametz, Belel, Erev Shabbos, Shehu, Leil, Shlosh Esar. Good, you do it the night before, on the 13th. Great, that is not a problem. Excellent. And then he says, let's say you find chametz in your house on Shabbos, which if you have bread next week for the meals on Friday night and Shabbos morning, you're going to have bread in your house. So we, right, Ashkenazim, non-Rambam Jews in this halacha, are going to get rid of it. We're going to mavari. You're going to flush it on the toilet. You're going to bleach it. We discussed all those halachas at a different time. And if you still have questions on that, please reach out to me. The Rambam here says something different. The Rambam says, "Yimnisher min hachametz biyom haShabbos, achar arba shaos." If you find chametz in your house, right after this man, what do you do with it? Mivatlo, meaning say this is no longer mine. The kofa lav kli ad motzi yom tov harishon mivaro. You're not allowed to burn it on Shabbos. You don't have to get rid of it or flush it down the toilet. You can't be mevayer the chametz, dispose of it on Shabbos. That is against kimat all of the Rishonim. The Ravid here, who is known to go against the Rambam in many places, the Ravid here says, Rambam, you read an entire sugya, Meseches Psachim, absolutely wrong. You're absolutely wrong. So why would the Rambam say this? In a deeper pnimi way, why would the Rambam say this halacha? We don't paskin this way, but it's incumbent upon us, especially this year, to try to understand the depth and profundity of this shita, of this opinion in the Rambam. So we have two questions here. Question number one, I'm going to work backwards, is why would the Rambam say you can't do beer chametz if you find chametz in your house on Erev Pesach Shechalos B'Shabbos, next Shabbos? Secondly, why would the Rambam compare the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim to Shabbos? What's that comparison? And that's the way he kicks off all of Hilchos Leil HaSeder. Third question number three, is the following. And we say this every single year at the Seder. Right before Lefichach, after we say Rabbi Gamliel Haya Omer, Koshal Omer, Shot Varim Elu, the Pesach Lo Yetzidei Chuvaso, Pesach Matzah Maror, then we go Bechol Dor Vador. The whole Dor Vador. And I purposely chose the Haggadah that I took this picture from is the Haggadah of Rabbi Lam Zatzal, who passed away this past year. Bring his Haggadah to the Seder if you don't have it already. And if you do have it, bring it. It is so great, so good. The whole Dor Vador, Chayev Adam, Liros Etzatzmo, Ki'ilu, Hu Yatza, Mi Mitzrayim. Every single year, every single generation is obligated to view themselves Ki'ilu. What does that word Ki'ilu mean? Ki'ilu means as if you left Egypt. Shemar, this is the pasuk Danny, Michael discussed earlier. Migad to vincha bayom ha'hu le'mor. Lavor ze asah Hashem li b'tzeisi b'mitzrayim. Lo esavosino bilvad, right? That's the pasuk. Now the Baal Haggadah continues. Lo esavosino bilvad gal HaKadosh Baruch Hu ela af osanu de'alimahem. Not only did Hashem take out our forefathers from Egypt, but God also took us out from Egypt. Shemar, Osanu Hotzi Misham. Hashem took us out of Egypt, Levan Hasvi Osanu, for the sake of taking us into the land of Eretz Yisrael, land of Israel, that he promised to our forefathers. I never noticed this question before. I was looking through the Haggadah called Seder Ha'aruch, and in that Seder Ha'aruch, he asks the following question. From the first part of this statement, you see, do I really have to view it as if I left Egypt? Is it really that? So no, ki'ilu. I have to make it as if I left Egypt. And we should put on costumes and play games and try to really get into it for the people at our Seder and try to really put ourselves in what the people went through, but not really as if, ki'ilu. Ki'ilu is as if we left Egypt. Yet, if you continue on in the very same paragraph, the Haggadah says, lois avosinu bilvad gal kadosh baruch hu, ela af osanu ga'al imahem. We even were taken out. Not ki'ilu, we were taken out, because the Haggadah knows how to say those words, but we actually left. It was as if, not as if, but we actually left. We had to get to the point where we feel we actually left Egypt, not like. So within this paragraph, it is a contradiction. We would say in yeshiva, minei uve. In the beginning, it says, as if we left Egypt. And at the end, we have to actually leave Egypt. What is it? It can't be both. It's got to be one or the other. How do we understand this paragraph in the Haggadah that we've said our entire lives? So we will hold off on this question, and we will focus now on question number two of the Rambam, the comparison here between Shabbos and Pesach. We're going to get into three different answers here. First, by the Great Or Sameach. Great Or Sameach, we're going to have three answers here. And then answer number four is going to take us into the second part of the first halacha, and then into some hashkafa musar thoughts and reflections. So first here, what's the comparison here between Shabbos and Pesach? So Rav Meir Simcha Devinsk, who is the great Rav in pre-war Europe, the Meshech Chachma, writes in his Sefer on the Rambam Yor Sameach something very simple. He says, you know what the halacha is? You know why the Rambam needed to tell us that that there's a hekesh, there's a connection between Shabbos and Pesach? Because you know what happened last night? If you didn't have any wine, I don't know, you want to say you have no wine in your house. There's zero wine, zero grape juice, you have nothing. What do? How do you make Kiddush on Friday night? Kiddush on Friday night is a mitzvah d'oraisa. How do you make Kiddush on Friday night? You make Kiddush Friday night with, what do? You make Kiddush with the challah, with the bread. So says the Or Sameach, at Leil HaSeder, I wouldn't know. How would I know that if I didn't have any wine for the Seder, that what do I do? How do I make Kiddush? Maybe you think you'd skip Kiddush. No, just like by Shabbos, you don't skip Kiddush. Kiddush is a mitzvah. You make Kiddush on the bread on Friday night. So too, you would make Kiddush on the matzah. Rabbanu, right? V'chileis layayin, omer hagada alapas. When you don't have bread, you would make Haggadah, right, on the matzah. That is the answer. That's what Rav Meir Simcha says. That's why the Rambam began over here with this halacha, to teach us one obscure halacha within the world of Kiddush. Friday night, you have a backup plan. The backup plan is matzah. So too, backup plan is bread. So too, you have a backup plan at the Seder, and the backup plan is matzah. That is the answer of Rav Meir Simcha. The Rav and his grandfather, Rav Chaim, both were very unhappy with this approach in the Rambam. They felt, and the way it's spelled out here in Rav Shurkin, if Daniel Critch is on, and Daniel's a Talmud of Rav Shurkin, Rav Shurkin in his Sefer Hari Kedem, which is written, it's really the Rav's Torah. The Rav writes that the Rambam wouldn't quote this halacha, you know, right out in the front, if that's the halacha that's being taught. It's not fundamental. It's not fundamental to the meaning of Pesach and to what Pesach's all about to teach you this halacha within the world of Kiddush about Zachor is Yom Tesecha Meir Tisrayim, Zachor is Yom Shabbos Akacha. So the Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, whose yurtzeit is on Chol HaMoed Pesach, quoted his grandfather, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, the great Rav of Risk, to share a beautiful answer. He said the following. He said that you have to understand another Rambam. We have to go a drop deeper into Shabbos. He says, what's the mitzvah of Shabbos? What's the mitzvah of Zachor es Yom HaShabbos Lekacho? What is that mitzvah? So the Rambam says here, Ikara Shlo Yishkach es Yom HaShabbos. The main thing is that you don't forget Shabbos. And how does that? That you remember Shabbos in the beginning, Zachor is Yom HaShabbos b'knisaso v'yitziyaso. We mention Shabbos when we begin Shabbos and when we end Shabbos. How is that? How do we remember Shabbos at the end of Shabbos? That is through the mitzvah we all just did. Want to say it? Go ahead.
No.
Havdalah. 100%. That's Havdalah. According to the Rambam, this is a unique opinion. The Rambam holds that Havdalah and Kiddush are a mitzvah d'oraisa, are biblical commandments. Not everybody agrees that Havdalah is a biblically mandated halacha, but the Rambam does paskin that way. And not only that, but it's not just that, but the Rambam says that you have to talk about Shabbos. Shabbos is not just a day where you just make Kiddush and you make Havdalah and like everything in the middle. No, you got to talk up Shabbos. Shabbos is so awesome. Shabbos is so special. Shabbos is so holy. And if you think about it, you know, all the Zmiros that we have, right? That's what the Zmiros say. Yom Shabbos on English Koach. We can't forget about Shabbos. It's so amazing, right? Chendas Hayom Memoso Karasa. It's the most beautiful, amazing of days. There's a mandate on Shabbos to talk up Shabbos, to build it up, to say how special it is and how delightful it is and how lucky we are to have this day of Shabbos. So says the Rav so eloquently that you see here that there's two very important elements of Shabbos, which we then could extrapolate to Pesach. Number one is Echad, the Lo Sagli. It's not just enough to mention it. You have to be ma'arich, lengthen your praise about Shabbos. Number two, the chayev l'shabeach l'feir l'ramein l'salayla azeh shel Pesach. Number two is, you have to not just be ma'arich, talk about it, praise it. Praise Shabbos itself. And he says here, which they're very, very similar, similar ideas. And the Rav says, based on this, that's why, look at the Seder. He says he reads Manishtana. The Manishtana is not a question for the Rav. It's a declaration. It's part of the obligation of the Seder to show how different this night is and how unique and special and grand and magnificent this night is. And we recognize that by declaring the Manishtana. Manishtana Laila Zemikol Alelos. How different is this night than all the other nights? What can we accomplish on this night that we can't accomplish on every other end of the year? How special is it? He says it's not a question, according to the Rav. This is his reading in the Rambam also, and maybe the Rashbam as well. But he says it's a declaration. It's amazing. It's amazing horror that the Rav has on the Haggadah itself. Read it however you want to read it. But that's the Rav's idea. And not only that, he quotes Rav Sadia Gaon. We don't have this girsa. And if you do, please let me know. Maybe the Yemenites do. I don't know. They always have the obscure ideas. The Rav Sadia Gaon says that there's a mitzvah to extend Kiddush at Pesach. And the Sadia Gaon's Kiddush was Vayifkor Bayom Ahu. You have to talk about the night of Pesach, how amazing and special it is, how grand and magnificent and royal the night of the Seder is. And Rav Schechter drives this point home even further. Rav Schechter has an amazing Haggadah written by Dr. Alan Weissman, who lives in Passaic. Came out a few years ago, and it's incumbent upon us to quote Torah from Schechter all the time, every year, especially this year. He's been leading us and guiding us and giving us so much chizuk through his Torah, his Piskei Halacha, throughout this pandemic. Rav Schechter writes, I'm happy to share these sources with everybody in English. It's in English, it captures his language and the way he talks. That's why I love this Haggadah. He writes here that the Rav, you know, try to explain a minhag that we have at the Seder as well. At the end of the Seder, we're all exhausted, we're all tired. And we get up to Nirtza, and we love singing the songs, right? And we're in the Adir Hu, Kilo Noah, and again, this family sings that, you know, that tune, and you somehow the tunes probably combine at a certain point, Echa B'Yodeya, and you're into it. And then right before Chagad Yah, Vahi B'Chatzi Alayla. You're like, what in the world is going on here? You have this long, you know, thank you, Michael Gottlieb. My extended son-in-law has an extended kid. So you'll tell him. Rav Sadia Gaon. It's amazing. Thank you. So the Rav writes, why do we have Ahi B'chatzi Alayla on one night, Zevach HaPesach on the other night? Why are you doing that at the end of the Seder? So the Rav says it's based on this idea. Zachreu B'knisaso U'B'tziyaso. So we mentioned and we elongated the Kedusha of the night in the beginning of the Seder. What about the end of the Seder? So you have to talk about Pesach at the end of the Seder. And that is by praising Pesach. uvehi bechatzia leiva, zevach haPesach. The Winkler family minhag, I see my mother-in-law is on, is to make up a tune. Atatakum some years, v'lishlaim ircha, we make up a tune and we sing it together. So according to the Rav, that this connection between Shabbos and Pesach is a little bit deeper. It's not just, oh, Kiddush, Halacha, no. It's to tell us how special Pesach is and the unique connection that Shabbos and Pesach have. You have to do the Meshabeach Shabbos, talk it up, and Shabbos is so holy and so special. Pesach is too. Pesach is an amazing night, and so much could be accomplished on this night. And we have to point out all the unique aspects of the Seder. Now I want to go a drop deeper. What I noticed is, when you expand this idea out a little bit further, thank you, Daniel, Nisachag, is that more important? You're right. Yitziyaso k'nisaso. That's why the Chabad Hasidim, Daniel's point, is a great ahara, is Chabad, and the Vilna Gaon also the same idea. The Chabad has two dasa de Meshicha at the end of Pesach, where we sing the songs of the Seder at the end of Pesach too. You take up the matzah. The matzah is still a mitzvah during those moments. Nisachag is a very important Indian over here, because that's what the Rav is saying. At the beginning, not only at the end of the Seder, but also at the end of Pesach, you have to still build up Pesach, that we can accomplish so much at Leil HaSeder. Now if you take this one step further, this is amazing. Broaden this out. And you'll notice here that the Rambam was really onto something, that there's really a deeper connection here between Pesach and the Seder. Pesach and Shabbos, sorry. Number one, We're going to start Sfiras Omer very, very soon. I already got my first Sfira question. Nekashach Yom, first Sfira question. Ve'enifas Omer lifnei Hashem l'tzonchem. Mimachras HaShabbos yinifenu HaKohen. When do we start counting Sfiras Omer? Mimachras HaShabbos. What's Machras HaShabbos here? For the day after Shabbos. We don't start counting Sfira on Sunday. That's what the Tzedukim did. That's what the Sadducees did. This Pasuk is referring to Pesach. When do we start counting Sfira? The day after Pesach. What does the Torah call Pesach? The Torah calls Pesach Shabbos. Additionally, there are two elements that mitigate and relegate the halachos of Shabbos. That is, number one, Zachor, Esyom HaShabbos HaKadosh, and Shamor, Esyom HaShabbos HaKadosh. Zachor v'Shamor v'Dibur Echad Demru. Zachor represents all the positive commandments of Shabbos, and Shamor represents all the negative, all the mitzvot lotas say of Shabbos, the 39 halachos. What's amazing is, many point this out, is that Pesach has both of those elements as well. There is Zachor es hayom hazeh asher yitzatem eretz Yisrael. That's in column number 3. And in column 5, ushmartem es hamatzos. We have to protect, watch, guard the matzos as well. Just like Shabbos has an element of zechira and shmira, so too, Pesach as well has an element of zechira and shmira. Additionally, thank you, Rabbi Ari Diamond, for pointing this one out to me just a few days ago. The Daf Yomi, just 3 days ago, Kuf Yud Zayin, says, in the name of Acher Bar Yaakov, that you have to mention Yitziat Mitzrayim at Kiddush. How? Same drasha we had before in Lamant Yitzchor as Yom Zitzchah Meretz Yisrael, Uksiv Hasam Zachor as Yom HaShabbos Gacho. Tosfos on the spot. This is the Tosfos. Tosfos writes that what malachos, or how did the Egyptians make the Jewish people's lives crazy? It was with the third end of malachos of Shabbos. They made them crazy, and they tortured them and enslaved them, and they made them do all the 39, the Lamates malachos of Shabbos. He has a wild gematria here, using Atbash, Avodas Parech, somehow gets you to 39 malachos of Shabbos. And that's what was going on over here. Ukshenigalu, he writes, Mi Mitzrayim Hisirim Ala Shabbos. Once we were redeemed, we were commanded to keep Shabbos. Okay. Amazing. Okay, continue on. There's an Isser. This is an amazing halacha. The halacha tells us that when it comes to Korban Pesach, please God, this year, we'll all be in Yerushalayim eating the Korban Pesach. The halacha tells us that you're now to take, when once you bring the Korban Pesach into your own home, you can't leave your home. It's got to stay there. Your house has a certain sense, is a remnant of the Beis Hamikdash, and it can't leave the grounds, the premises of your home. So the Gemara actually compares, if you needed to take it out for whatever reason, or if it leaves one's home, they compare the halachos of taking the Korban Pesach out of one's home to the halachos of Hotza'ah on Shabbos. We know that if there's no Eruv, you can't bring your things, you can't carry outside the house. On a Daraisa level, on a Torah level, you only violate the Torah level if you do an Akira and Hanacha. You remove it from somewhere and you place it down somewhere. So the Gemara makes that exact comparison. In fact, Rabbi Zilberstein paskins that way, Bisman Azeh. If there was a Korban Pesach, you needed to take it out of your house for whatever reason, you have to make something from a Mechitza or an Eruv. How do you make an Eruv? Shabbos, that's good. And because of this deep comparison between even the halachos of Korban Pesach in a certain way are mitigated by Hilchos Shabbos, by Hilchos Shabbos. So you see here in these few sources that the connection and relationship between Shabbos and Pesach is that much deeper. Number one, Pesach is called Shabbos. Number two, Zachor v'Shamor on Shabbos, Zachor v'Shamor on Pesach. Number three, we have to mention Pesach at our Shabbos Kiddush. And number four, the halachos of taking the Korban Pesach out of our house are relegated, mitigated by the halachos of Erevin by Hotzah on Shabbos. So you see here how deeply they're connected. So now, and we saw a few different answers. Now, I want to get into why that is so. What does this tell us about the Pesach Seder? What does this tell us about the Pesach Seder? Before we get to that point, there's an amazing, amazing piece from Yaakov Kamenetsky. Yaakov Kamenetsky, his 35th Yahrzeit, just took place very recently. He died in 1986. I was privileged to learn for a year with his grandson-in-law, Rabbi Yitzhak Noble, who actually lived near my parents. He shipped over the five towns. And every Friday, Rabbi Noble gave a parsha shir. And he, almost every one of the Divrei Torah was quoting his Rebbein. And Kimat, most of them were from Rav Yaakov. And he opened me up to the world of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky and his Sefer Emes Yaakov. And it is so beautiful. It is so beautiful. His biography is one of the first biographies I ever read. Very inspiring. And he writes here something so comforting, that at a certain point, the first stage in Yetzias Mitzrayim, we know the Jewish people didn't leave Egypt in one stage. It didn't happen like that. There was avdus, there was torture, there was slavery. It was a buildup. But also on the way out, it slowly got easier as time went on. And he quotes a few midrashim and he puts them together. And he writes that at a certain point, Paro went to Moshe and said, "What can we give you guys?" Almost like making a deal. And the deal was, we need Shabbos. We need a day off during the week. We need a day off from all this torture. We can't do it. We can't do it. It's too much. So Paro gave them Shabbos. Paro gave them Shabbos. So even in Mitzrayim, the Medrash writes, they had a Shabbos. Shabbos was a place of refuge and comfort, even in Mitzrayim. It served as a source of chizuk for the Jewish people. And think about it this year. It's a source of chizuk for us. And we're going from Shabbos into Pesach. Michael Bader, you have a question? Go ahead. Before we continue, Michael, you're not here.
Thank you. No, I had to unmute myself. Going back to what you said about Ushmata Zarchor es Yom HaShabbat and Shomor es Yom HaShabbat. There's a clear, it clearly says you have to remember the Shabbos and you have to guard the Shabbos.
Yeah.
Now, you also mentioned Ushmatam es, I think, let me say Ushmatam es.
Shmatam es Matzos.
Es Matzos. But in the Rashi, it says it could be read as Shmatam es HaMitzvot, right? Mm-hmm. And that there's a different interpretation. You say you have to guard the matzos, but you also the interpretation, the alternate, is you have to guard the mitzvot also.
Yeah.
How does that change, if any, this comparison of Shomor and Vezachar?
That's a great question. So I think that's like we have pshat and we have drash. We have the literal definition and we have what the rabbis gave us, you know, to understand it on a deeper level. So I think both are true at the same time. That's the Torah can be understood in two levels at the same time here. The thing on a pshat level, ushmartim es hamatzos. We learn many halachos. That pasuk teaches you, you have to have shmur matzah at the Seder as well. So you can't take away that drasha, but you can be mosif and add to it that it teaches you a greater idea or more, you know, far-reaching, overreaching idea by all the mitzvos that we should have alacrity and zrizus by the mitzvos themselves. So thank you, Michael. I think that's a great question. Thank you. So now we began with Zohar, as Yom Tzitzchah Meir Tzitzchayim, and Zohar Yom HaShabbos Kasho. The Rambam says, that's how you don't have to mention the Nisan and Niflos every single, not at the Seder every single year on the 15th of Nisan. And we ask ourselves, why would that be? Why would that be? Why would the Rambam go ahead and compare these two? He didn't need to do that. He added the Gadat Levincha. So we had the answer that Rosh Sameach said, oh, you know why? You know why? Simple. It's simple. Because if you didn't have enough bread, you can make just on Shabbos, so you didn't have enough wine, so you make Kiddush on the challah. So too here is the same idea. You don't have wine, you make Kiddush on the matzah. Good. Then we had another idea from the Rav. Really, two ideas, very, very similar. You have to be Meshabeach Shabbos, you have to pray Shabbos and build it up and talk it up and say how majestic the night of Shabbos is. So too that is true about the Seder itself. And you have to specifically point out, Manishana Laila Zeh, you have to talk about the Seder and how special the night is. Not just about the content of the Seder and what happened, but even the night itself. Then we broadened this out a little bit deeper and noticed a pattern emerging throughout the Torah and Halacha that there's a deeper connection here between Shabbos and Pesach. The language in the Torah is the same. The Halachos, you know, are the same. And even Kiddush and, you know, overlaps. And Kiddush, you have to mention Mitzrayim. And even the Malachos, what's going on here? What does Shabbos tell us about Pesach? What does that tell us specifically this year, 5781? Where are we this year? Where are we holding? And what can we learn from this? So I want to share you a piece from the Haggadah called Halakach Valibov. Halakach Valibov is in my Rav that has had a deep impression on me. Avram Shor, he shall live and be well, Shlita. He lives in, I believe he lives in Borough Park, but he has a shul, based Medrash, near my in-law's house in Avenue L on East 15th. He's an amazing Rav. His father was Rav Gedalia Shor, the Rosh Hashiva of Torah Vadas. And his svarim are just amazing. They're really, really beautiful. My father is on, I got my father-in-law into his svarim and many others. They're really, really great. Such good Torah. And he writes here, he quotes this Rambam. And he says here two ideas, which we're going to build upon. He writes the following. So number one, he points out, if you talk to somebody and you say, you know what, every 7 days, I'm going to take a day off. Take a day off. I own a supermarket. I own a company. I'm going to take a day off. That's not normal. In the world that we live in, it's not normal. It's unexpected. It's to completely stop from everything is lamala min hateva. Not only is it, we would call it lamala min hateva, but it reflects a special notion, a special status that the Jewish people have, that Klal Yisrael has with the Ribono Shel Olam, that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we have this day of Shabbos. Who is the Ben Zug of Shabbos? Who is the spouse of Shabbos? It is the Jewish people. And he says, when did that start? That's what Shabbos is about. But when was that point of engagement? Not the wedding, but when did that point start? When did the ring, when was the will you marry me? When was that moment, the only simchas moment for Klal Yisrael and the Jewish people and HaKadosh Baruch Hu? When was that? It's next week. Leil HaSeder. Leil HaSeder is that moment where we as a nation recognize and realized that we have a special relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That causes a special responsibility to the rest of the world, to all of humanity. But we have a special connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu. We are, as a nation, Lamala Minatevra. Rav Yaakov Emden wrote in his introduction to his Siddur, What is the greatest miracle that ever happened to the Jewish people? And ask this question at your Seder. What is the greatest miracle? Kriyas Yamsuf, the Ten Makos, what was it? He says, the very fact that we are all here. The very fact that we will get together. Whether alone or together, with friends or not, with family or not, or alone, we will all get together and gather around our own dining rooms and have the Pesach Seder next week. He says that is the greatest miracle ever to occur to Klal Yisrael. He says that's the greatest miracle that we're all still here. Pogroms, Holocaust, blood libels. We are all still here. Lamala min hateva. He says that is number one. That, when did that all start? That started Leil HaSeder. That started on Pesach. That is the connection. But then he says something further. Ulai yesh lomar od l'archilak bein Leil HaPesach l'choy Yimos Hashana. He says, there's another interpretation. Maybe a second step to build off my first step. It's not only that we have this relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he takes care of us and has taken care of us throughout this time, but that we ourselves are worthy of that. So not only are we obligated to praise Hashem and thank him, Anu misaprim shebinei Yisrael heim am shenahagasam hu lamala miseder atefa. The way that we interact and what we do is beyond nature. That we have an obligation to talk about the godless, the greatness of the Jewish people. Avabalel Pesach medabrim gama godless shebinei Yisrael, the greatness of the Jewish people. If Hashem chose us, then we are worthy to be chosen. What does that mean for us? What does that mean? This past year, what have we seen people do? We've seen people do things that are lamala min hateva. The outpouring of chesed and the willingness to do for others. Somebody shared with me, they were not the only ones. I know several people in our community were part of this. They were trained to figure out on Twitter how to get what extra vaccination appointments were available. They waited up till 12 o'clock at night and would sign people up with all the information to ensure that other people in their community, people they knew, they didn't know, and well beyond their community, to ensure that they would get vaccines. People that I know would drop off food by other people's homes they never met before in their lives because they needed help. Our job at Leil HaSeder is not just to talk about the miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us, and we will, but to also talk about the greatness of Klal Yisrael, the godless of Am Yisrael. Rabbi Simon writes, I had to quote Rabbi Simon's Haggadah, just came out this past year. His father's Yurtzeit was yesterday. He spoke to him on the phone to thank him. To hat tip to Shalom Zarnitz and Moshe Zarnitz for getting me a copy of the Haggadah. And he writes here a little bit of a deeper idea. He says the connection between Shabbos and Pesach is that in Shabbos it was lo yayde malach, v'lo yayde shaliach, ela HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu bechvodo v'yatzmo who was there. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Shabbos, we experience that a giloy of Amuna, the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu every single Shabbos. But at Pesach, we had an encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Kook writes that the word Pesach, right, that Hashem was, we learned as kids, it means that Hashem passed over our house and went to the Egyptians' houses. No. Rav Kook writes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Pasach al Batei Avosenu. Pesach, he quotes many psukim for this, means that Hashem hovered over our houses. Hashem was in our houses to protect us, to take care of us, to show us how much he loves and cares about us. That the Nesiva Shalom writes that the Pesach, the Leil Pesach, is a Rosh Hashanah. There's a Rosh Hashanah on Tishrei, and that's a Rosh Hashanah for the whole year. The Rosh Hashanah Nisan is a Rosh Hashanah for Emunah. It's a night to experience Hashem, to talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to recognize how grateful and thankful we are. And let's go back now to our second question. Actually, this is question number three. Question number three we had was, on one hand, is behold orador chayiv adam liros azokilu, as if we left Mitzrayim. The other pasuk, and then we continue on, that we have to leave. Says many, many, many mefarshim, the Slonimer, and many others say the following idea, that there's two different redemptions we need to feel at the Seder. When it comes to Mitzrayim, we have to do our best to put ourselves in our ancestors' shoes. We have to do our best to put us in those shoes. But we can't always get there. But you know what we can do? Each one of us has our own Mitzrayim, our own Mitzar, our own difficulties, our own challenges that we went through. And each year on Pesach, it's our job to talk about them and express our vulnerabilities of what we went through. Whether it was a mental health crisis this year, so many of us are struggling or have struggled with depression or anxiety at different times. We're struggling with our jobs, pranasa, we don't know what's going to be. Our children, we don't know. We're so concerned, we're so nervous. To talk about those vulnerabilities and some of our geulos, those, ga'al osanu imahem. When we talk about those at the Seder, we're linked up in a chain of all of the other redemptions that we had as part of Klal Yisrael. This year, if you are here listening to this year and learning together, then you have what to be thankful for. You have a redemption story that you need to share. Now leads me to a curiosity that I had. I was curious, what was a second Seder in post Mitzrayim? Last year we spoke about the first Seder. It was scary. It was very nerve-wracking. They didn't know what was going to be. They had a Seder in their own homes, and around, outside of their own homes, there was a Magefa. There was Makas Bechoras going around. They didn't know what to do. They followed God's word, and they just followed him. And that was it. What was a second Pesach? What did they feel at the second Seder in the Midbar? One year later, did they even need to have a Pesach? Was that necessary? Was it important? Who are they telling the Seder to? So it's actually recorded in the Torah, in Parshas Baloscha. This is Bamidbar Perek Tes, Pasuk Aleph through Dalet. And I'll just read the Pesukim very quickly and you'll see. V'idabar Hashem Moshe b'midbar at Sinai, b'shana Hashenis, the second year, let's say some merit, b'chodesh HaRishon, way more. In the beginning of the month, the Vayasu b'nei Yisrael sa Pesach b'moado, the Jewish people did the Pesach b'moado in its appointed time. B'abasar yom b'chodesh hazeh b'in arbaim da'asu oso b'moado, k'chochu l'sav v'chol mishvatah da'asu oso, they brought the Korban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan in the right time. They did the halachos with everything that was asked them to do. Vayidaber Moshe ben Yisrael lasos haPesach, and Moshe told the Jewish people to bring the Korban Pesach. And guess what happened? Pasuk Hey, and they brought the Korban Pesach and they ate it. Done. That's Pesukim Aleph Hey. That's all we know about the second Seder in history. By the way, after this, the next 39 years, we don't really know what happened. In fact, according to some Gemaras, they didn't ever have a Korban Pesach after this until they went to Mitzrayim, went to Eretz Yisrael. But we'll leave that all for now. Why ask Rav Hirsch, Rav Shishol Rav Hirsch, on this pasuk? He says, why would you need to quote these Pesukim? Why did the Moshe need to tell the Jewish people what to do for Mitzrayim? They didn't remember from last year. What was the necessity that caused the Torah, who's so careful? Every single word is precious real estate in the Torah. Why would they need to do this? Rav Hirsch gives two answers. Answer number one is, every Pesach is different. Every Pesach is different. The Pesach in Mitzrayim, we know, was uniquely different. and uniquely singular in its halachos and very different than every other Pesach subsequently in all of history. So Moshe needed to remind them what was for now and forever and what we don't follow from last year. Good. Secondly, Rav Hirsch writes something that's really amazing. Rav Hirsch writes, the second Seder, let's put ourselves in those shoes. They were all survivors. They all survived the torture, the servitude of Mitzrayim. Many people, Daniel Kirch just pointed this out, many people didn't make it out. Yes, Esther Makos, Kriyas Yamsuf, Milchemes Amalek, Matan Torah, they experienced revelation. They saw the divine hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu every step along the way. Did they need a Seder? When was a Seder? Says Rav Hirsch, you know why Moshe needed to repeat the halachos? Because according to the Seder Olam, you know when this Pesach took place? The second Seder, post-survival, was Erev Pesach, Shechalich B'Shabbos. Pesach took place on a Saturday night, on a Motzei Shabbos. The Korban Pesach needed to be brought on Shabbos. And if the Korban Pesach needed to be brought on Shabbos, there are unique halachos that needed to be learned. In fact, we learn out the halacha that you can bring a Korban Pesach on Shabbos from these psukim, because the Torah said b'moado and it's appointed time, and not from the other psukim, not from the psukim in Perek Yud Beis and Shemos. From here you learn that you can bring the Korban Pesach on Shabbos. And this is where we find ourselves this year. We find ourselves in year two, post year one, post, in a certain way, the scary magefa that we all experienced last year. And we are still in the middle of it. We are still in the middle of it. Are we closer to the beginning? Are we closer to the end? And now we are close. The Achshav Kirvanu,
Rabbi, that's close to.
What are we close to? We are closer, I hope. We are closer to ourselves, to the people living in our home with us. We are closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't know where we are on this trajectory. I pray every single day, many times a day, that this terrible machala ends as soon as possible. But here we find ourselves again, just like the second Seder, celebrating, following a Shabbos. Hopefully our Shabboses have become greater and more special and more unique and holier and more opportunities for us to learn. But I hope that we can think about what they went through at that second Seder. At that second Seder, they were the survivors. They made it through. You know what Dr. Twersky writes? Rabbi Abraham J. Twersky, Zatzal. He writes, I was going to say this for Tuesday at my shir, to thank Rabbi Shalom Baum for sharing this with me. It's amazing. What's the entire point of the Haggadah? The entire point of the Haggadah is to get to a point to realize that I am worthwhile and spiritual, that I am, it's worthy for me to be redeemed. That there's a reason why I'm still here. That I have a goal, I have a tachlis, I have a mission. There are people that I can help. There's changes that I can do to myself and the people around me that I can change the world. Because I am still here. Just a few points how we can do this. Number one is to be grateful. Rabbi Twersky writes in his Haggadah, which is an excellent Haggadah, from bondage to freedom. I know I made like 10 Haggadah suggestions today. It's an excellent Haggadah. Get one of them. Get all of them. I'm happy to share. It's an excellent Haggadah. He writes how being grateful is not just being a nice person and being a good person. It's a spiritual thing. That's the entire point of Dayenu. The entire point of Dayenu Thank you, Hashem. Thank you, Hashem, at the Seder. Play it before preparing for Pesach. Thank you, Hashem. Recognize that we're here. Not just that we're here, but there's so much for us to do. Because if you follow through on the Dayenu part, it's not just, first of all, we're thanking him for such small details. Every step along the way, every step is important. Thank you for this. Thank you for I got the vaccine. Thank you that my kids were quarantined, but that they were able to go to school afterwards. Or that I was still able to do work. Or they're on quarantine and they can actually learn on Zoom. No, thank you, Hashem, that I still have a job. Thank you, Hashem, that I still have my health. Thank you, Hashem, that I got corona. I'm still better and I'm still okay. There's so much to be grateful for. So much to be grateful for. Additionally, Rabbi Sachs writes in his Haggadah, Rabbi Sachs et al. He writes that the obligation of the Seder has to be done in a certain form. Maslo b'genos m'sayim b'shevach. We begin with the bad, with shame, and we end with the praise. We end with the praise. What does that mean? So he says a Jewish story is not one that ends with happily ever after. It's not a Disney movie. It's not a Disney movie. That's not the way it works. The way it works is that it's up to us to make the shevach. It's up to us. There's going to be gunus in our lives. Bad things, shameful things that we did, decisions that we made, or things that happened to us. It's what we make of it that makes us holy. That makes us holy as individuals, as a people, as a community, and as Am Yisrael. That's a shevach of Am Yisrael and the shevach of Hashem that Rav Shor writes about. That's Masel Begunus. Umeshayim b'shevach, I think Rabbi Bleicher, Rabbi Michael Bleicher, for sharing that piece with me from Rabbi Sachs. I mentioned at the beginning that my grandmother, I called her Grandma Marlene. She passed away on Thursday night. She was very sick for the past 6 weeks. Truth is, for myself and my family, we never thought she would ever get sick or ever pass away. For us, we thought she would live forever. She was a survivor. She survived the Holocaust at a very young age. She spent most of her young age running away from the Nazis. We never got to hear a lot of the story. She had new bits and pieces. Part of it was her memory, and part of it was she didn't really want to share. She shared only positive moments with my children, with us, even when I was a child. One of the moments was, I remember when my sister started wearing Uggs. She told us that, oh, you wear Uggs? It looks like those are the shoes that we used to wear in Siberia. We took boots and we took wool, literal wool, off of animals, and we stuffed them into our boots to keep ourselves warm. She never defined herself. And what I found most fascinating as we were reflecting with my cousins after the funeral, and we were talking, not one of us mentioned that she was a survivor. Maybe one of us did, but in passing. She didn't call herself a survivor. She didn't like that word. She didn't feel like she was worthy of it. Also, she didn't define herself by that. She refused to be defined by her past. She was defined by what she was going to do her next day. She was defined by her loving family, by her children, her grandchildren, and Baruch Hashem, her great-grandchildren. So for her, she wasn't a survivor. She lived a life of Maslo Begunos u'Mesayim b'Shevach. She began with plenty and plenty of Gunos. But with the greatness of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, she was able to survive, to thrive, and to rebuild. She was an only child. An only child, thank God, her parents survived. They moved to Brooklyn and met my grandfather, and thank God, they had a very, very special life together, being married for over 60 years. And additionally, as a grandchild, and this point was brought out again by the grandchildren, is that she made each one of us feel worthy. She made each one of us feel worthy to be her grandson, her granddaughter. Each one of us felt like we were the favorites. I remembered I would meet the same people, all of her friends, over and over again. She would introduce me to them. Do you know my grandson, Andrew? and make me feel like I was the most important person in the entire world, to the extent that I thought I was the favorite. Little did I know, but I was her favorite, but each one of us were. She made each one of us feel so special and so worthy. And that really is the goal of the Seder, is to feel this love and embrace. Halavai, we all have people like this in our lives that make us feel this way, make us feel special, and make us feel loved. We also have a Kadosh Baruch Hu that does that for us. Thaf Osanu Ga'ali Mahem is to remind us that we all have the Meitzarim, these moments in our lives of Galus and of Ga'ula. And if you never had them until now, we all experienced it this past year. I wish everybody a Chag Sameach V'Kosher. Spoke to an old friend the other day. This is the Biyana Rebbe used to say, Chag Sameach first. In all the preparation and running and doing and kashering and cleaning, we forget. We forget about the simcha that Pesach should bring with it. First, a Chag Sameach, and also it should be a Chag Kosher. Thank everybody for learning together. May this year and this Pesach, this Chag HaGeula, this Rosh Hashanah for Emunah, bring us closer to each other, bring us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We celebrate this year, B'Bias Goal Tzedak, B'mheira V'Yameinu. Amen.
Thank you very much, Rabbi.
Thank you, Mom.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you. Thank you.